Dear kind and righteous Father, we are so privileged and honored to be able to come before your throne of grace this evening. We thank you, Lord, for being a just and a righteous God, for continuing to shower us with blessings that many times we're undeserving of. We're thankful for the opportunity we have in your Son, Jesus, to be able to have all spiritual blessings before us. Heavenly Father, we ask for your word this evening to have free course. Pray, Lord, tonight that in Brother Johnson's lesson that he is able to proclaim unto us the divine pattern that is before all of mankind. Pray, Lord, as he presents to us these precepts regarding salvation, the love of you have for us that you have demonstrated through your Son Jesus, his great sacrifice on the cross, and the empty tomb, and the kingdom that we now reside in, the Church of Christ. Pray, Lord, that someone will accept these facts according to this biblical pattern. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless us with the increase. May your word encourage us. May it edify us. May it also rebuke us, Lord, so that we can do those things that are pleasing and honorable in thy sight before it is too late. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're grateful tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored and the distinguished guest of our audience. We pray now you'll take your Bible and open it up and follow along with our speaker tonight. Pay particular attention to those things that he talked about as it pertains to your soul salvation. Tonight, I'm speaking to the person of Brother Rufus Johnson. He's been on our program before. He's a repeat defender, we call those guys. And tonight, Brother Johnson will talk to us about the salvation and the after the pattern. He's a minister of the North Soto Church of Christ in DeSoto, Texas, and at this time we're going to bring him on the call. Brother Johnson, tell us about this. What are you talking about when you say the pattern?
Thank you very much, Brother Tommy Brooks. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters, loved ones, and friends. We're honored that you have tuned in to this broadcast tonight. We'd like to ask you to run, get your Bible, and tell a friend that this broadcast is on the air. This month is It Is Written. One of the things I found out about God is that God is a very consistent God. God has a pattern for everything, and tonight in particular, a pattern for our salvation. I want to call your attention, first of all, to two passages of Scripture. The first one is in Matthew chapter 4. And then the second passage is in Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9, and then verses 40. In Matthew chapter 4, Andre, my son, talked about this and started with this last night. I think it is interesting that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who had power over death, hell, and the grave, did not use any miraculous power to defeat or gain victory over Satan. What he used was, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And by doing so, he gave us an example as human beings that we can gain victory over the devil. Jesus simply quoted the written word. It is the power of God, Romans 1:16. Not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I think it is also interesting that the devil actually quoted scriptures in Matthew 4, but he didn't harmonize the scripture or put all of the scripture together. Nobody can say that they're saying what is written unless they've looked at everything that God has to say on the subject. So if you read the whole passage in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, you will see that quoting the written word was the only defense Jesus used against the devil, nothing else. And my brothers and sisters, that's encouraging, because if we're going to overcome temptation and walk in victory and have victory over the devil, we must follow the example of Jesus Christ and use the written word. There is no other way. God's word in our mouth, in our heart, in our being is our spiritual weapon. If you neglect to use it, you will be overcome instead of walking in all of the victory and the blessings that Christ Jesus has provided for us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Yes, it is written. And so tonight I want to show several examples in the written word how salvation has been consistent in God's mind throughout history. So now I call your attention to Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 and 9, and then also verses 40. And here's where I want you to do for me. You can help me. I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to write two words on the paper. I want you to write after, and I want you to write before. And after each one of those words, I want you to put a question mark. And I'm going to ask you some questions as we go through this. Back to Exodus 25, verses 8 and 9. Let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I showed thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. Verses 40. And look that thou make them after the pattern which was showed thee in the mount. What is your conclusion about the pattern? God expected Moses and the Israelites to follow in building the tabernacle. Did it matter what pattern they followed? Well, when you look at Exodus chapter 25 through verses chapter 28, we see Moses couldn't just build in any kind of way. Could they build a tabernacle of their own choice? Could they take a vote on how to build it? Could they assemble a design committee about how to build it? My brothers and sisters, these questions help us understand the importance of divine patterns and examples. Hebrews 8, verses 5, John 13, verses 15. We will investigate some patterns in Scripture that emphasize strict obedience from God Almighty. I want you to turn now to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6 is about the salvation of Noah. God observed and grieved over the sinfulness of man. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. God commanded Noah to build an ark according to his design. The how is in verses 13 through 16. Noah is told why to build the ark, verses 17. Noah is told who and what to bring into the ark, verses 18 through verses 21. The Bible says in verses 22 of Genesis chapter 6, Noah did all God commanded him. Noah was saved because he followed God's pattern. Now, here's the question I have for you. Those two words I told you to write down, after and before, here's how that comes into play. Here's the question for you. According to what's written in Genesis chapter 6, was Noah saved before or after he obeyed God? Okay, well, let's take another example. In 2 Kings chapter 5, there's a story that is written about Naaman the leper. Naaman was a leper, 2 Kings 5, verse 1. He desired to be healed or cleansed, verses 2 and verses 6. Naaman instructed by Elijah what he must do in order to be cleansed, verses 8 through 10. And Naaman first argued with the instruction, verses 11. Naaman wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to do it his way, verses 11. He said, behold, I thought. Naaman's servant asked him a very probing question in verses 13. And so finally, Naaman obeyed. He goes down to the Jordan River. He dips seven times in the Jordan River, and lo and behold, he was cleansed. Verses 14, Naaman was cleansed by obeying God's pattern. Here's my question for you. Was he cleansed before or after he obeyed God? If you read the account of the serpent of brass in Numbers chapter 21, the Israelites rebelled against God. Verses 4 through verses 9 of Numbers 21. God punished them by sending serpents, poisoning the serpents among them. The rebellious were bitten and they died. Verses 6, the rebellious confessed their sin. Verses 7, Moses prayed to God on their behalf. Verses 7, God told Moses to build a fiery serpent and put it up on the pole. Verses 8, and the people, if they would just look up, they could be healed. They were healed when they looked up on the serpent, when they obeyed God. Here's my question for you. Were they healed before or after they looked up? When we come to the New Testament in John chapter 9, There's a man that was born blind from his birth. Chapter 9, verses 1. Jesus comes and he sees him, and the disciples ask the cause of this man's condition, verses 2 and verses 3. Jesus stated that the power of God would be manifested, verses 4. Jesus anointed the man's eyes with clay, verses 6. And then he commanded the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam, verses 7. He was healed when he went and washed, verses 7. Healed when he followed the instructions of the Lord. Here's my question for you. Was he healed before or after washing in the pool of Siloam? When we come to the New Testament again, we're saved by faith or the blood of Christ. Are we saved by the blood of Christ or act of baptism? Romans were, the Bible says, they were justified by his grace, Romans 3:24. They were justified by faith, Romans 5, verses 1. They were justified by his blood, Romans 5, verses 9. But when were they justified and when are we saved? Saved by faith of the blood of Christ. Romans chapter 6 answers the question. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ were raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. The Romans were saved, according to Romans 6 verse 17 and 18, when they obeyed the pattern, when they followed the consistent pattern of God. So the Bible says in Romans 6, 17 and 18, but God be thanked, seeing you were the servants of sin, but now you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. Saved when they obeyed that form of teaching. Saved when they obeyed the pattern and followed the consistent pattern of God Almighty. Saved when they obeyed that form of teaching. The question is, were they saved before or after they obeyed? When we go to the book of Ephesians and we look at the Ephesian church and those disciples down at Ephesus, saved by the blood of Christ, by the grace through faith, according to Ephesians 2:8-9, they were baptized, the Bible says, in Acts 2:38 for the remission of their sins. They were also baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, Acts 19, verses 5. The element is water. It can't be gasoline. It can't be milk. It can't be coal oil. The element is water, Acts 10, verses 47 and 48, were sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word, Ephesians 5, verses 26. Saved when they obeyed and were baptized. Here's the question for you. Were they saved before or after baptism in the, by the authority of Jesus Christ? Then I ask you tonight, is salvation conditional or unconditional? Paul preached the gospel of grace of God to the Ephesians in Acts chapter 20 and verses 24. The Ephesians, they heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. According to Ephesians 1:13, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:13 in chapter 2, verses 8. They repented of their sins, Acts 19, verses 17 through 20. They confessed, Acts 19, verses 17 through 20, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins, Acts 2:38, Matthew 7:21, Luke chapter 6, verses 46. They were saved when they followed the consistent pattern of our Lord. They were saved when they were obeyed and were baptized. After, not before, they met the condition of the gospel of the grace of God. After they had obeyed the pattern laid down by God Almighty. I know there's a lot of talk going around in our world, religious world today, about whether or not salvation is by a sinner's prayer. Denominational preachers teach after one realizes that he's a sinner, they're told to repent. Then they're told to say, Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner, and I'm now asking you to come into my heart and be my personal Savior. Then they are assured, so to speak, if by faith you have said that little simple prayer, you have been saved. Who in the New Testament was saved by saying the sinner's prayer? Who? Is there a pattern? Is there an example? If so, where is it? Where is the sinner's prayer reference, command, or cited in the New Testament? Were first century sinners told to repent and say the sinner's prayer, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins? If so, where's the book, the chapter, and the verse? Or were they told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins? Acts 2:38, that's what's written in God's word. No sinner's prayer, no pattern for it, no example nowhere in the New Testament. So I say tonight, here's some of the things that we have discussed tonight. God has a consistent pattern. He has things written down in his word. The Bible says in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, truly did Jesus many of the signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these that are written that you might believe, and that through believing you might have life in his name. Oh, yes, it's written. God has a consistent pattern. Revelation 20 and verses 12, I saw the small and the great stand up before God in judgment, and the books were open. And another book, which is the Lamb's book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are found written in the book. My brothers and sisters, you're not going to be judged in the final analysis of all things by what your mama or your daddy or your grandpa say or any of your friends. You're not going to be judged in the last days by no kind of creed, no kind of manual, no kind of catechism, no kind of tassel, no kind of university, no kind of president of a college. In the judgment day, we're going to be judged by the consistent pattern of our Lord that he has written down in his word. That's why the Bible says in Hebrews 10, verses 7, lo, I come in the volume of a book to do thy will, O God, forever, Lord. Your word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. My brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, God has a pattern. It is a consistent pattern. We've demonstrated that all the way from the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament. We've talked about the salvation of Noah and how he was saved after he followed the pattern. We talked about the cleansing of Naaman from leprosy and how he was cleansed after he obeyed the pattern. The rebellious Israelites who were bitten by the serpents, they were healed after they obeyed the instruction. The healing of the blind man, he was saved only after he obeyed the pattern. The salvation of those Ephesians, whether salvation is conditional or unconditional, saying a sinner's prayer for salvation. Those are some of the things that we've talked about tonight. I'm telling you right now, my brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, one of these days, all of us will have to stand before the judgment bar of God. God is going to want to know if you have followed his consistent pattern that he has outlined and laid out in his word. By application, we could say of Noah, we can say he that believeth and builds an ark shall be saved from the flood, but he that believeth not will perish. Of Naaman, we could say the leper, we can say he that believeth and dips seven times in the river Jordan will cleanse of his leprosy, but he that believeth not will remain the leper. Of the Israelites bitten by the serpent, we can say he that believeth and looketh up on the fiery serpent on the pole shall be healed, but he that looketh not shall die. Of the blind man, we can say, he that believeth and washes in the pool of Siloam will be healed, but he that believeth not will remain blind. I say to you tonight, my brothers and sisters, of sinners of the first century, we can say they were justified freely by grace, Romans 3:24. Justified by faith, Romans 5:1. Justified by his blood, Romans 5, verses 9. Baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Obedient from the heart, that pattern of that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, it comes after obedience to the pattern, sanctified and cleansed with the washing of water by the word. where we're saved after they had obeyed and were baptized. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I don't know where you are in your life tonight, but I'd like to encourage you to think very seriously about what is written in God's word. The Bible says in John 12:48, he that rejected me and received not my word hath one that will judge him. For the words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. I'm just wondering tonight if you are prepared to follow the consistent pattern of our Lord that is written down in his holy writ. Of obedience, we can say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through verses 10. Of the obedient, we can say, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:26-29. God's pattern is repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38. It's after you obey the pattern. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Only after you obey the pattern. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which are should hereafter believe on him in life everlasting. Oh, Lord knows God Almighty has a consistent pattern. It is consistent all the way back in the old, all the way in the new. God has always had this pattern. If an individual will not obey the pattern of God, he cannot be saved. That's why the Bible tells us when it talks about baptism, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Our Lord went through an awful lot that we could follow the pattern that he laid down. Remember how I started tonight and also how Andre started last night with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. We started by saying Jesus was the Son of God. He had all kinds of power. He could have demonstrated all kinds of power if he had wanted to, but Jesus wanted to give us a human example of what human beings can do and how we can win the victory over Satan. And Jesus says, It is written. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and the heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you can find rest to your souls. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to solve the whole puzzle for you tonight. God has a consistent pattern. God says that his pattern is when you hear his word, Mark 12:29. That's when you hear it and it registers with you. And then if you're willing to believe it, John 8:24, not just intellectual assent, but to believe to the extent that you're willing to embrace it and then follow the pattern and then repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, and confess the sweetest name on mortal tongue, Matthew 10:32. He says, if you will confess me before men, you will also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when we get up to heaven and we're going to come up there with all of these kind of patterns and all these kind of side notes and things we're going to try to make God accept? God has one pattern that is a pattern of obedience to get to salvation. And it is not before you obey God. It is only after you obey God. That has always been God's pattern. And then the Bible tells us the Lord wants us to be baptized. Acts 2:38. On the day of Pentecost, when those Jews were convinced that they, by the determinate counsel, you by wicked hands, have taken and have crucified the same Jesus that you crucified, God has raised him up and made him both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter, rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptized is where we have our sins washed away. Baptized is where Jesus performs an operation on us and removes sin. Colossians 2:12. Baptized is where the Lord comes into the operating room and performs surgery on us, but not only performs the surgery, he also captures and conquers our old master. And that's why when we go down in the water of the grave and we come up out of the water of the grave, we come up to walk in the newness of life. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. I'm glad that my Savior stayed on the cross and didn't come down. I'm glad that he loved me so much that he was willing to die for me. I'm glad that he was willing to pour out his blood for me, and I don't want to take it lightly. And I say to you tonight, if you have never obeyed the pattern of God Almighty, I hope you will consider obeying it tonight. If you have heard this message tonight and you're kind of thinking about doing something about it, I hope you can't sleep until you do something. Matter of fact, I hope you have nightmares until you say, I got to do something. I want to follow that pattern, that consistent pattern of God Almighty, where salvation comes after we obey. My brothers and sisters, when Christ Jesus went to the cross, he was an innocent man, but he did it for me. Can you imagine going and not even trying to take it for himself, not trying to defend himself? It was because he cared that much for us. And I'm very thankful for the Lord. We want you to know it is not our aim to amuse or entertain those who attend and tune into this broadcast. We are God-fearing people striving to glorify the only begotten Son of God. I'm Brother Rufus F. Johnson, minister to the North DeSoto Church of Christ in beautiful suburbs of Dallas County in DeSoto, Texas. If you ever in our neck of the woods, won't you just come by and see how we do? Again, Brother Brooks, thank you so much for this opportunity. For all of you, brothers and sisters, loved ones and friends, for listening tonight, I bid you Godspeed.
Thank you, Brother Johnson. We appreciate you so very much for this message. Certainly, it's very clear. It's only after we obey God and we're going to get the benefits. And if you're on the call tonight and you want to follow that pattern of hearing and then obeying it, you got to hear it before you can obey it. You've heard it tonight. We want you to do just that. If you're on the call, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you are very honored. Yes, we put this call on with you in mind. If you want to be baptized or you want further studies, go ahead and get back with the person who invited you to this call. Or you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, and we will make the arrangement for you wherever you are in our listening audience across this nation. And however you may want to go back and just dissect what Brother Johnson has already taught tonight, it's recorded on our website, hollowheightcoc.net, hollowheightcoc.net, and there's a tab there that says Nationwide Gospel Call. And just click on that, and all the sermons for this whole 2020 series of lessons on the Gospel Meeting Call are there for your enjoyment to go back and listen to it. You can download them, go back, rewind them, stop them, and check the scriptures. We encourage you, read behind us. You read behind us in the Church of the Christ, you read yourself right out of denominationalism in the church is not mentioned in the book. That's if you believe the book. You've got to believe it first, or you will never obey it. We pray you will. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for Brother Johnson, for the message that he brought from your written word. And we thank you so much for loving us, Father, and for giving your only Son. We thank him for giving his life on that cross, suffering on the cross of Calvary, shedding the blood that washed our sins away by faith and baptism. The same blood purchases church that's written in the Scripture, and that is the Church of Christ. And Father, we pray for our visitors, that every lie we speak the truth in love, the things we're saying, that we're in fear of God and the judgment to come. Therefore, we must hold to the truth, not add to it or take it away from it. We pray they can appreciate this. Most importantly, we pray that they've heard it. We've learned tonight, nothing happens before. Only after can they be saved after they obey your will and your way. The pattern is that one must obey after they know. We pray they will. We thank you for our brothers and sisters across the nation who've joined us every night. Thank you for such a large call, my Father. We pray our audience will continue to support this nationwide gospel meeting. Continue to bless us, Lord. Bless our effort. This is our prayer in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We're on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, Thursday night. Brother Rick Kenyon, son of Brother Brian Kenyon. Come on. We're talking about that. I am with you. And then Brian Kenyon is there, and we close out. That salvation is within reach. The brothers from both of them, Brother Rick and Brother Brian Kenyon, are from Lakeland, Florida. We look forward to hearing these fathers and sons. I'm so thankful to men like Brother Rufus and others are bringing up their sons to carry that bloodstained banner on. But we know one day we all must lay beneath the sod. May God bless you tonight. I hope you don't get to the nightmare part that Brother Johnson told you about. But I think Brother Key was going to be rolling, tumbling in your bed. You ought to obey the truth. You ought not to rest good until you obey the truth. We hope you do. We hope you obey. We hope you will obey with everlasting truth. Join us again tomorrow night, 9:30. May God bless you all.